for the remainder of our time, if you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I told Pastor I don't usually title my sermons, and so I was trying to think of a title and which passage I wanted to preach on. So I thought of something unique. I've never had this title before, but the title of the sermon is "Who Cares About Missions?" So kind of a play on words. Are we someone who cares about missions, or when we think about missions, is it like who cares? So Matthew chapter 9, and if you'll look with me at, we'll start reading at verse number 22. You can see that there is the woman who had a blood condition has just been healed by Jesus. Jesus is performing different miracles there. And he just raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. And now you can see in verse number, I got lost here. Just look at verse number 27 with you, if you would. Matthew 9, verse 27. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, 'Believe ye that I am able to do this?' And they said unto him, 'Yea, Lord.' Then touched he their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith be it unto you.' And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straitly charged them, saying, 'See that no man know it.' But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And as they went out, behold, they brought him to a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, 'It was never so seen in Israel.' But the Pharisees said, 'He casteth out devils through the prince of devils.' And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.'" So who cares about missions? Well, the obvious answer to that question that's always correct would be that Jesus cares about missions. Jesus cares about missions. He cares about eternal souls. We see that he was about doing his Father's business, trying to point people to having a relationship with God. And he was going around preaching, teaching, healing people, doing what he was supposed to do. And then when he saw the multitudes of people everywhere, the Bible says that he was moved with compassion on them. He had pity on these people. And he was moved. And, how often is it that we end up being moved by the lost souls around us? In some ways, I use that play on words there. Who cares about missions? Do you care about the souls around you? You could say, do you care about the people around you? Or would you happen to say, who cares? It's not my problem. I don't think that most of us would probably go so far as to actually shrug our shoulders and say, who cares? I think all of us do care on some level. But it is very easy for us to grow indifferent to the people that are around us. And we don't end up having the heart that Jesus had. We just go about our daily business and doing what we need to do. We really don't think about the lost souls that are around us. We're not looking for opportunities to share Jesus with people around us. But Jesus, when he saw people, he was moved with compassion. And when Jesus saw these people that were in need, he made a declaration of a dire need. He said that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So that's what the biggest problem is. Jesus saw these people. He's saying it looked like they're as sheep not having a shepherd. They didn't have anyone to guide them in what was true. And Jesus was moved with compassion. And he was saying that there's plenty of people out there in the harvest, but there's not enough people working to reap that harvest. Now, we know that Jesus actually did do something about this. In fact, if you look at we're not looking now, but if you look in the chapter after this, in chapter 10, this is where Jesus commissions his disciples to go out and share the gospel everywhere. So he declares the need, and it seems maybe immediately at that point is when he sent his disciples out. You can see that actually in Luke chapter 10 as well. It talks about he's sending them out two by two, and that's where he says this phrase right there, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Well, what's another synonym for the word laborer? This is really obvious, but what would be another word for laborer? Worker, right. Maybe everyone thinks, you know, when you think of labor, you already think of worker. But, you know, Jesus is saying that there's not enough people to work in his harvest field. I just want you to think for a moment about the illustration that Jesus is using here. Okay, imagine I'm not an agriculture guy because I was raised in the city of Milwaukee. Okay, now we drive anywhere out beside the city of Milwaukee, especially you go anywhere in Illinois, you see nothing but cornfields and plants as far as you can see. But imagine that there's a farmer who owns hundreds of acres of farm field. And he has worked really hard. He's tilled the ground. And today it's maybe easier than other times because you have this big equipment and stuff. Back in that day, they didn't have all that for sure. But this farmer has planted all this stuff. He's tilled the ground. He's put the seed in. He's watered it. Everything has grown up, and now it is harvest time. And this farmer is trying to find people. I have heard that farmers are willing to pay people a lot of money at harvest time. So it can be a really good temporary job to jump in and help at harvest time because they got to harvest that crop. But the farmer is looking, and the more he looks, the more panicked he gets because everyone is at home on unemployment and doesn't want to come and work for him. I'm making a little joke, of course, but I don't know if it's a joke or not. But he's not able to find anyone to work. And let's say the farmer, he's trying to get workers, no one's signing up to work for him and harvest his crop. And then now the farmer injures himself, he's not able to even ride his equipment himself. Well, what's going to happen to all that crop and all that work that's out there? What's going to happen if he's not able to find any workers? Yeah, it's going to rot. Yeah. That crop is going to rot out there. And all the whole year that he's been working on preparing that, if he doesn't have workers at the time of harvest, that entire crop goes to waste and rots. And Jesus is giving this illustration, talking about the lost souls of men, which are a lot more important than a crop. He's seeing these multitudes of people, eternal souls that are all going to spend forever somewhere. And if we're not able to go out and share Jesus with them, what is going to happen to these people? Yeah. I mean, who wants to say it out loud, right? I mean, I had a kid just say in the auditorium, they're going to rot when I asked the question. They're going to suffer an eternity separated from God in hell, because they have not put their trust in Jesus. And if it wasn't a problem, why would Jesus have been worried about it, right? It's a real problem. There really are people out there that if they do not put their trust in what Jesus has done for them, that they will perish and they will not have everlasting life. Someone needs to go and tell them. So Jesus is saying there's a crisis. There's a lot of harvest out there, but there's not a lot of people willing to get their hands dirty and work. This still is the crisis today. We need more people that are willing to go and work in Jesus' harvest field. And We're already out of time, so I have to try to wrap up here, okay? You know, some ways that we can help this crisis. Three simple things that we can do to help the crisis would be, as Jesus says here, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And in 1 John chapter 5, the Bible says that if any man prays according to his will, he heareth him. And if we know that he hear us, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. So praying for laborers to go into the harvest, that's definitely something that is God's will. So if you pray, God will send you. In fact, when I was there visiting Ramona's parents for the first time, this is just an interesting fact, I was praying that God would send people to reach the needy city of Budapest. And I didn't realize that he was going to send me. So be careful. No, I'm not just saying be careful. if you pray for the harvest, God might just send you. But then, again, that's completely a joke, because the other thing that you can do to meet this need is to go yourself. Jesus sent his disciples. They went. And, you know, you may not know exactly what God has for you, but are you willing to do anything that God wants you to do? You know, there's probably somewhere around 3 billion people in the world right now that may not even know the name of Jesus. We're going to Hungry God specifically called us there. They have a Bible translated. They have great needs there. But there's some places that don't even have one verse of the Bible translated in their language. I mean, there's a huge need out there. And we can't be focused on just living for the American dream and enjoying our lives here. Our lives are temporary here. We're supposed to be living for Christ's kingdom. And you need to be willing to go. And another way to meet the crisis is to give if you can't go. And I'm encouraged to hear that your church has exceeded your giving from last year. That's a really good thing. But the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Would you ask God what he would want you to do in solving this crisis? Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. God, I thank you for the opportunity to share about the mission field that you've called us to, Lord. And Lord, we know that it is your heart, Lord, that not any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us in this room do everything that you want us to do to solve this crisis that you told us about. Lord, we know that your heart is for people to be saved. Lord, you care about the lost. And I just ask that you would help us to be obedient, to go if you want us to go, and to pray that God would send forth more laborers into your harvest field. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for that challenge, brother, from the Word, and just bringing us right back to the heart of our Savior and what he saw when he saw those multitudes and the compassion that he had on them. And just pointing out the crisis, there was a real shortage of workers, laborers, to go into the field. It does compare to the economy that we're in right now, where there are so many help wanted signs out, so many jobs available, and there's a real shortage of workers to fill those jobs. And the same is true in the kingdom of God. There's a shortage of laborers, those willing to do the Lord's work, to occupy till he come, and to get the gospel out to the lost. And I really appreciate how our brother just brought it right home to us, very clear application. What can we do about this crisis that we find ourselves in? Well, we can pray, we can go, and we can give. And I would argue that every believer ought to do all three. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure about going. Well, maybe it's a matter of how far, right? Maybe the Lord isn't going to call you to the country of Hungary he has called the Allens. Maybe he's not going to call you to foreign missions. Maybe he's going to. I don't know. I think there are some in our assembly who have a heart for foreign missions. But maybe God's going to call you to that neighbor next door. He's going to send you there. You will go that far and carry the gospel to the people that are in your life right now. So everyone can do all three. You can pray, you can go, and you can give. Wonderful application of this passage. Let's do pray for the Allens. They would appreciate our prayers, and be sure to pick up their prayer card. I know that they would appreciate us praying that they would get their support raised. All right, they're where now? 51%? Okay, they're at the halfway point. I know things start to pick up more and more as you get into this, and so maybe the Lord is going to speed them on their way. But let's pray that they would be able to raise their support, and the Lord would speed them to the mission field that they've been called to. I know they would appreciate prayers for getting them there safely and just paving the way, opening that opportunity, having them find housing and so forth there. And then I know Jake would appreciate prayers for language acquisition. That's a challenge, okay? And so pray for him, especially in that regard. And so let's pray for the Allens and remember them in your prayers.